Hi, my name is Nimi. I work for Levi Strauss head office in London, England. And this week I have been here as part of the Levi Strauss Service Corps in Hanoi in Vietnam, learning more about what Levi's do as a company within the factory and with their Well Worker program. Today I'm interviewing Herbert. Herbert, welcome. Nice to meet you. Would you like to tell me a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so as you lovely introduction, I'm Herbert from Chicago, Illinois. So born in the United States, but right now I reside in San Francisco, California. And I'm an employee for Levi Strauss & Co., division of the West Coast and San Francisco headquarters. And I'm a participant along with you, Service Corp in 2019. I'm happy to be here. We had our trip in, or our week of service in Hanoi, Vietnam. It's a beautiful place, a beautiful city, very enriching, very rich culture, a lot to offer, a lot of vibrancy in people, community, and life.
Was there anything that you were really surprised about during the week that you've had here?
That's a really good question. Not necessarily culturally. I've been in Southeast Asia before, 4 years ago. I talked about it in Thailand. So I was familiar with the culture, but I think I was most surprised with the community's engagement, the group of Service Corp. We literally came in not really knowing much about one another and how we just engage instantaneously, coming from all parts of the world with who we are, where we come from. We were very, very open about one another, very honest about one another, and we wanted to learn more about one another. And I really love the diversity and how everyone come in different walks of life, although we are under the same umbrella of the company. So I was more or less surprised to that. Like I to be honest, I kind of assumed that maybe it would be some people kind of closed off. Maybe it'd be people coming here with their own agenda. But I feel overall, we came in with the same in that mission and we were all in sync. And I was really impressed by that.
Okay, so obviously we're all coming from different walks of life and meeting each other. Personally, what were you expecting to find when you got here?
That's a good question. I didn't really have any impression. I wasn't expecting anything. It was more or less what impact were we going to serve, at what degree, and what was the agenda. And I think the group beforehand that kind of curated this event for us, I think they did a good job of leaving us optimistic, because I don't think any of us knew what we were coming into. But now that I know, I see why. Because the thing about, I guess, the impact in volunteering, we're not coming here for solutions. We're not coming here to change anything and mm-hmm. to say, hey, this is wrong, this is what needs to be done. Mm-hmm. But it's an eye-opener, it's a reflection. You come here with an open mind and see how does that impact you? What do you learn and what do you take from it? And I think the way it was all designed, it all made sense in the end.
Okay. Now, I know that you've traveled a lot, and so you've seen a lot of the world, probably more so than a lot of people that are here on this trip with us today. What does community mean to you, having seen Vietnam and some of the people and how things work here?
Yeah, I think community is just everyone has a morality. I think that's what community is. You know, we all believe in individuality, but we all have a moral obligation of what's right within a community. You know, it's like you may think a certain way, you may do these type of things. Put it this way, to give a better example, you have that old ideology where it's, you know, if you're a kid and you do something wrong, it wasn't really up to the parents to discipline that kid, it was up to the community. That's just an example, but I think that's what, but that links to having a moral obligation of knowing what's right or wrong. And especially in like less developed countries, you really see community a lot more than developed countries, because there's lesser opportunities and resources. So they know that there's more of an obligation for, in order for I to succeed, we need everyone to succeed. Whereas if you in a developed country and you already have that opportunity, it's very easy to lose focus. It's very easy to build this sense of greed, seclusion, and saying, hey, like, I already have it, how much more can I get? And I don't want anyone to F me over in order for me to get it.
And how would you say your community, how does your community look up to the challenges that it faces?
Community in regards to San Francisco?
Yeah, back home.
To be honest with you, I think San Francisco is terrible. I think community-wise, I think San Francisco has a lot to learn, and I'm actually pretty embarrassed the way San Francisco is now. We talked about it casually during dinner about the price you have to pay just to live there. But one significant thing about San Francisco is that there's this huge diversity. It's a very large melting pot. You see people from all over the world in the city. But it's a great example of how we value opportunity over community. You have different walks of life, but everyone is subjugated to their own group of people that they relate to and who they appeal with. Mm-hmm. And no one are really there with any moral obligation for all of us to succeed. It's more or less, it's a clash of the half and the have-nots. And then, I mean, as I gave the example before, there's a lot of people in San Francisco that find that opportunity, they want to hone that opportunity, and they want to pretty much retain as much as they possibly can under any means necessary, no matter who they F over. So you have these people that's on the top that's making millions, that's living a great life, but then there's this large group on the bottom, and we talked about the homeless crisis.
We did.
And with the resources that's available in San Francisco, things like that should not exist at all, but it's there.
Okay, well, that's a huge issue politically as well. Going back home, what changes do you think you can make to make even a small impact within your community?
Yeah, we talked about, well, one of the things that we did part of the service trip is we went to a school and taught Project WET to really young children, and I had confessed that, you know, in my adult life, I really didn't spend a lot of time with children because I'm guilty of chasing that opportunity. That's the only thing I was focused on. And my community is relatively back in Chicago, and me being in San Francisco, I've never even focused on finding a community there. So I think one thing that I can do is be more proactive in touching the children. Going back to the community within San Francisco and going to some of these schools where these young kids are trying to find their ways and pretty much prepare them for the future and give them whatever insight or whatever hope that I can offer, and start there.
Okay, that's a great start. And how would you say that your experience has changed your view of being an employee of Levi Strauss?
Yeah, I mean, it made me prouder as an employee. I think we're all pretty much at a point of trying to find ourselves, and I think where we work really represents who we are and what we feel about ourselves. Like, in my personal life, I meet so many people so often, it's just like, man, you know, I hate where I work. Herbert, you have such a cool job because it's creative and blah, 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 blah. But they don't know, like, I went through the same trials and tribulations to get myself into this place and to empathize. You know, the reality is that we don't really choose our life. We just kind of live it and let life take its course. We may think that we have decisions, but we don't. So I think, I don't want to go off track, but in relation to the company, one thing I admire is that Levi's does give us the freedom, or rather give us a voice. That's what's most important. It kind of gives us a voice, but then they have a platform for us to center our voice, and then we have the option to serve whatever impact and make whatever difference that's mm-hmm. necessary.
Okay, and how would you encourage others to do what you've done, you know, to volunteer within their own communities, but also to volunteer for this experience?
Yeah, that's a tough question. To me, I think it's, well, I only can say this honestly for me. I don't think it's really my duty to impose any like, I don't want to force anyone to do something that I may feel that needs to be done. It's respectively up to them, but I feel what I can do is just lead by example. So I feel like if I'm the only one that's raising my arm up and saying, hey, I want to volunteer, I want to make this difference, I want to do that, all I can do and hope for is that someone's going to look at that and say, man, he had the guts to really stand up and say he wants to do it. You know what, I want to actually volunteer and help this guy. And then next thing you know, I raise my hand, someone behind me raised their hand, then another person raised their hand, and next thing you know, I have a whole army, you know, that's ready to fight for the greater good.
Yeah, well, that's encouragement in itself. I think that the fact that you said lead by example, it's very easy to talk the talk and not do what you say you're going to do. So when people see that you're doing these things and they hear you talking about the things that you've done and they see the images that you've taken of the experiences that you've been going through, I think that's a really positive thing. And I think if even one person looks at that and says, hey, you know, Herbert seemed to have a really great experience, it seems to have changed him in ways that I wouldn't have recognized before, and it doesn't have to be on a grand scale, we don't want you going out there and being, you know, the world's greatest philanthropist, but even if it's something small like engaging with your local community, which is something you've said that you want to do, or get back in touch with your own immediate community, then that can only be a good thing.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Herbert. Are you sure you finished recording? We've got about 10 minutes there, but...
Okay. Do you want to do it on the same one, or do you want me to just record yours?
Should we do it separately? I don't mind.
I just want to make sure you don't... You do say
things. I know, yeah. It will say yes. You will not be able to resume this interview.
Are you sure?
If I say that I've finished recording, then yes. And that's the end of my interview with you.
Okay.
Are we happy with that?
I'm happy.
I'm trying to think. Is there anything else I need to ask you? It's really hard, actually.
It is.
You did really well, though. There weren't any really long pauses. The only funny thing is when this thing came squeaking around the corner. But, you know, that's keeping it real. Okay. Are you finished recording? Yes.